CPS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Get fired up.
Oh, yeah.
Performance-enhancing audio.
This is the State of Combat Podcast with Brian Campbell.
Oh, yeah. New theme song, same old grossness. It is the State of Combat Boxing Podcast, as you heard. Boy, BC slided in. Hey, the fights are back, and we are back, giving you what you deserve here on this here pod. What is that? That's an injection. Okay, I see the marks, Canelo. I see the marks of that performance-enhancing audio. Yes, it is hot. Yes, it is good.
It was that thick.
Yeah, well, you know.
It was that intense.
Yep.
It was that heavy.
Okay, it is all of those things, all right? Sorry to get gross early on here with you, but that's how we roll on this show.
Right, I know the subject matter is gross. Talking about it here online makes me queasy. But it matters.
It does matter. Thank you, Rich. This show matters. You matter, the people. Thank you for listening. Our fights are back, and we're going to talk about that today on this here show. Do a little bit ridiculousness, get into the latest headlines. Fights are back in Vegas. Boxing, where you been? Okay, we need you. You know what I need? I need a co-host that won't jack, okay? That won't back up. That'll be here until he can't breathe. One that doesn't value his life 10 pence, okay?
Will not be denied. I will die in a fight. I'm as game as an American Yankee cock.
Let me bring in one of those American Yankee cocks. He is a New York Times best-selling writer. He's the best thing going today at theathletic.com. His name is Rafe Bartholomew.
Lick you up. I'm a Yankee cock.
Boom, boom, boom. Bugs, how is it in Detroit?
Same as it ever was. Not ever was, but same. It feels that way. Same as it has been, man. It is a groundhog day for real out here, but we're healthy. We're working. And I am grateful for those things. And that's about all we can count on these days. You know, we're in this together, Brian.
Yes. Yes, we are. I did play a little Richie off the top here, but the reactions, Rafe. Okay. I know this wasn't part of you. This wasn't a Rafe Bartholomew production, but the reactions to the SOC sticking it to the man, getting the whole man that is Richard Dwyer. Has been incredible. Have you felt the vibrations, Rafe?
That wasn't a vibration in the Bartholomew household, Brian. I'm sorry to say.
The vibrations good like sun-kissed. Many want to know who done this. It was me, okay? It was me in the conservatory with the candlestick, with the Dwyer. It was me.
Judge me. Watch me. Applaud me. I'm great.
Yes, Teddy. Yes.
Brian,
yes.
We know that the good vibrations really only belong to you New England trash people.
Oh, wow. Well, hey, you're a Manhattanite, all right? You're an Islander, all right? All right, take that.
At least I am from New England.
Yeah, well, I didn't know we had that debate, that divide between us there. But seriously, hope you're doing well there in Michigan. Is the flooding going down at all? Rafe, I haven't been following it.
Yeah, the floods have receded in my neighborhood, what, 50, 80 miles away from the actual floods. And I believe they have receded in Midland, Michigan as well. The problem now is all of the ecological and environmental disasters that will follow because it was right next to a big chemical plant. And it ain't pretty. There may be some flipper babies, Brian.
3 Mile Island, indeed. Wow. Is it receding worse than Mike Coppinger's hairline? Or?
Oh, man. How could you? Look, I have no inside information about why he rocks the baldy. It looks good, right? He's got a smooth head. I have a dent in my head. I could not I used to cut my hair low, but I could never go all the way bald because people would see the dent, right? I got it in eighth grade. I jumped into the top of a door frame during theater class or whatever, communications.
Theater
semester of theater between 7th and 12th grades, and this happened to be it, and I jumped into a door frame, and I got out of school for a day. So I kind of think it was worth it.
People forget you did go to fame with Debbie Allen. And
That's not me. I'm not one of those kids.
All right. Well, shout out to Mike Coppinger, your colleague.
You're a quality operator, quality bloke, and a quality fighter.
Top operator indeed.
The turtlenecks are coming back, I think, with boxing, right?
It's summertime. All right, summertime. I had a great Memorial Day weekend. Rafe, that might have been the last weekend that we have off as fight guys for a long arse. Oh, I forgot. You don't get down. I was talking for myself again. All right. You know,
it's a great, great sport. I love that mixed martial arts. I think it's trash.
Yeah, well, it's part of my job, okay, Bob? So that's the deal, all right? Well, yeah, did you enjoy Memorial Day? Did you guys let off any sparklers up there in the Upper Peninsula?
In the Upper Peninsula? It is a goal of mine. I will someday get to the UP, the Upper Peninsula. I haven't been there yet. You know, it's a big-ass state. It would take like 9 hours to get to parts of that thing, man. It's far.
What would we call it? But, a youper? A you-whooper?
I don't even know what they call it, but
we call you a YouTuber?
Ever, though, please, whatever you do, do not ever call me a YouTuber because that is not what I am.
Wow. You'd be making a wee bit of a mockery of what Carl Frampton is about.
I couldn't tell if that was Frampton trying to do the Vlad voice, you know? Come, do not check the USB stick right there.
Please don't call me YouTuber.
Please don't. All right. I don't know if this show is going to have much flow or direction, but I think that's how the people like it. Let me tell you some revelations I've gone through lately. You told me our boy Matty C, MGC Speaks, is a bloke. He's British. I didn't see that coming, right? You know, I mean, what are you gonna tell me now that Yusuf? Oh, you already did. All right. Well, yeah. Okay.
It did exist, Brian.
Yeah. You know. And did you know? And I talked to Maddie. And by the way, Maddie's woman was listening as he got the shout out.
Yeah, I heard this story too. Why don't you finish that story? Because I know where it's going.
Well, did it? I mean, I know what you prefer. You know what I'm saying?
It was a good finish. I like a good finish.
But all I was trying to say was that he was at Night of Champions with us. Did you know this? You, myself, the beard, Patrick Connor. We met in Temecula that night in December 2014.
I met El Bialy.
And the terry cloth robe, yes. Boobs Brazil sending that guy to hell as the house lights went down. All right, Sergio Mora.
Our friend Sergio Mora struggling with the cab driver in the dark.
Dropped by the MMA fighter. Matty C was there. Did you know that?
I think he mentioned that to me once before. Matty C has worked in the boxing business. He has done videography work. I think he was an early IFL guy here in the States. And then his career, thankfully, I would imagine he would say, moved on from doing boxing videography. No shade to the journalist, Marcos Viejas,
yes.
Who has parlayed it into great things and continues to do great work at Fight Hub. But It's a crazy hustle, and we've seen him talking about it during the pandemic, that the hustle is real, even at the level, even when you reach that take a step back, setback level,
wow.
That Marcos Viejas level, that not Raging Babe, the other behind the gloves, Michelle Joy Phelps level. When you reach even the people who we see doing this all the time, the great Coogan Cassius.
Rip that suit off. Show everyone your S.
Right. Yo, suckers never play him, but a virus is not a sucker either.
Wow.
Anyway, a lot of respect to these guys. They all hustle really hard. But anyway, Matty C, our guy, the top bloke, quality operator, used to do a little bit of dabbling with the IFL, did some interviews for them.
It did exist. All right. He tickled the ivories with Coogan Cassius. I was getting to, though, that I also found out along with you in our DMs, which, as Ryan...
Oh, wait, you didn't even get to the part of the story, Brian. What is wrong with us?
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I know you were trying to get away from that part. You did, his wife did listen to your interview with Dwyer, and my comments about why I chose to jack. And
I don't know this part. I'm learning.
Oh,
this
yeah,
the first
yeah.
Time. Okay.
Mrs. Maddie C says Boogs got the score right. Rafe got the score right.
No,
yeah.
No,
thank
no,
you.
No, no,
thank
no,
you.
No, no, no,
at least somebody got the score
the
right on my behalf.
World. I don't give a shit.
No. Rafe, you swallowed, okay? You swallowed, bro.
I did not bottle it.
The old term in boxing is he swallowed. And that's it.
You know, once a man swallows, Rafe. Anyway, the point of this story, shout out to Maddie C and his wife. All right. That's enough. It's enough airtime for you. Okay.
Oh yeah. Now you're sending the poor man to hell because his wife is down with me.
Well, how much is she down with you, Rafe? Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Let's just say, you know, I had a lot of reasons I had to move to Michigan.
Just look at the stiffness.
Rafe, I was going to say another top listener. In fact, the top listener. No, not Alex Godinez, although we love him. Hey, remember he used to have that great segment, Meet Me on the D, Oscar, Deep Drive on the D? That, what happened to that, right? That was a short conversation. What I was going to say is 2019 listener of the year, B-Sample Bloke. Somehow not British. How is this possible? Guy lives in Oklahoma with George Tatanuwaipa? I don't get it.
I mean, B-Sample Bloke has had a lot of quality bloke. He's had a lot of different handles. He changes up the avies. He's a chameleon. He's a mystery.
Why is
we don't
my
know
Brit
who
dar?
He is. We
my
don't know
Brit
what
radar.
He's about, but he seems to be everywhere all at once. I mean, you are aware of like the 6 months he spent using the avatar of Trackstar Campbell, right?
Yes, where yes.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the same man. He's talking to this man like he is that man.
Well, I've seen a lot of guys, first of all, okay? Number two, though, I know that this man, B-Sample Bloke, is a little controversial at times on Twitter. So, you know, the opinions and don't necessarily reflect that of the State of Combat podcast. But I was assured he was British. My Brit dar is all over the place right now, Rafe.
Your Brit dar? Your Brit dar couldn't even get you a handshake with Dazzling Darren Barker.
Oh, how dare you.
Would you like to shake my hand?
I'd love to shake your hand.
You'd love to.
Gotta bring that up again. All right. Yeah, okay. Anyway, I love our listeners. We haven't heard from Ulrich Anderson in a while. How do you think his COVID's been going?
He's still in Denmark, right? He's probably going better than ours.
That's true. That is true. All right. Hey, Rafe, did you know that college football is inching closer? Or at least that's what the ad read tells me. Is it really, though? Is it really?
Yeah, it is. I listen to, you want to do some plugging?
Yeah,
not like that.
But
I listen to the Athletic COVID-19 podcast with the head of the SEC talking to our Seth Davis, and it sounds like they're ready to go, baby. They bring it on, you know?
All right.
An absolute humdinger.
Yeah, humdinger to that. Well, college football apparently is inching closer, Rafe, and you know what that means. It's the perfect time to unveil them off-season rankings. Rafe, have you picked a CFB team in your new state of Michigan?
I guess I would go with the Spartans, Michigan State, because I like their basketball team better.
Did you pick that because MMA co-host and UFC Hall of Famer Sugar Rashad Evans was a collegiate wrestling star at Michigan State?
In part.
And on this week's MMA pod, it was revealed. Do you remember Michigan State quarterback Jeff Smoker, number 9?
Hell yes. I was in college. I was at Northwestern at the time. I remember Smoker. He started as a true freshman.
I was telling Rashad on this week's MMA show that, like, when we were, you know, back sitting on the couches during those years, right? Like, you know, hanging out, doing things. We would always cheer on Smoker because here's the guy with the coolest name. He looks like Jim McMahon. And he's always getting hit up for drinking too much. Like, this was our guy. He said he used to crush beers with him.
Ooh,
up
wow,
there
wow.
in Lansing.
That's how,
all right.
I thought Rashad Evans was way older.
No. He's a year younger than me.
Yeah, that would make sense. Wow.
All right. Yeah, that's that. All right. Anyway, back to this ill-placed ad read. You ready for this? Rafe, all throughout May, have you ever heard of the Cover 3 podcast on CBS Sports? Of course you have. All right. They've been counting down their preseason top 25 in separate episodes. And this week, Rafe, they're going to focus on the top 5. All right? Don't worry about a huge time commitment. I know you're a busy man up there. Chip Patterson and company have been breaking down each team in their Hurry Up Hot Seat series in under 15 minutes, Rafe. How about that, right? How about a hot dog and a hando, 15 minutes or less? Not a bad deal. Rafe, I got questions for you. Where will Clemson and Ohio State rank this year after bringing back the top two QBs in the nation, huh?
1 and 2?
Will Alabama crack the top three after losing Tua, huh?
Yes.
Not David Tua. Each day this week, Rafe, the Cover 3 Pod has all your answers about the very best teams in the nation. Download and subscribe on Apple Pod, Spotify, Stitcher, J-Date for them Raskin picks, and wherever else podcasts are found. Yeah. All right. Tell them BC sent you. Yeah. Woo. Hey, Rafe, did you get a chance to peep our the new theme song here that I worked hand-in-hand with the music production team at CBS Sports?
Yeah.
Don't listen to it. Don't do it.
Sounded boring. Try to listen to it again. Still boring.
Wow, it's very jam bandy. I gave them the tracks that I was looking to mimic. You know, they were like, "Do you have a song?"
Kind of like a Bella Fleck vibe going.
No.
You said jam band. It's kind of
like Grateful Dead meets Allman Brothers meets, you know. Anyway, maybe meets Anthony Joshua, because they were like, "Send us one track that you want your song to sound like." And I was like,
"Find me fighting on June 1st at MSG, lyrical MC in NYC, holding it down. I ain't a clown. I'm ready to rebound. I'ma knock Miller out around the 8th round. He can't round with the champ. I lick him down like a stump."
Trash. Next.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Rafe, anything else before we get into the box? Oh, have you been watching our good friend, a friend of a friend has a documentary out there. Lance Armstrong. Friend of Bryn Jonathan Butler.
Lance.
Yes, it's called Lance, not Lance Pugmire. He don't got that. He don't got that game.
He does
Lance,
run marathons, though.
He does? Oh, shout out to that.
He ain't no joke.
Part one of Lance aired. Yeah, my family gets on me because of my accent, I guess. I can't say, is it air hair or ear here?
What are you talking? What are you talking about? What
old
are those?
Old people get hair in their air.
Ear hair.
Oh, all right. Yeah, it was like when Ryan Bader fought Fedor. It was like, is it Bader Fader or Fedor Bader? I couldn't really get behind that. Where was I going with this?
Darth Fedor.
Where was I going with this?
Asking me about Lance Pugmire, BJB. I'm guessing.
Did you watch? He
not
took
Lance
over...
Pugmire, but Lance Armstrong.
Lance took over for Jordan in The Last Dance. Okay, they're dancing again. But did you watch part one? Do you have any takeaways, Rafe?
Hell no, I didn't watch that. What? Why would I? I don't care about no bicycle man. I know he won a bunch. I know he took a bunch of roids and EPOs. I know he lost a nut or two.
Wow, really? It's going to be that casual with it? Okay, I mean, that's the man.
I enjoyed, like, I saw a little clip on Twitter of him flipping the bird and saying, and dropping some F-bombs. Mr. That Nuts. Was cool.
I like F-bombs on ESPN. I wish they had that when we were there, right?
Yeah, I would have been the star.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I guess we can't have this conversation. What an awful show we're starting off with right here. But hey, shout out.
I didn't ask you about some bicyclist.
Okay. Sorry, you know, give you the ball sack of the year award, all right? Rafe, I guess that's it. I guess I lost my train of thought again. Shout out to Richard Dwyer for joining us last week. Do you think, I don't think he shouted us out, okay? So I don't think it meant that much to him. I don't think it existed that well to him. Do you think, though, he listened to it? Did he go back and listen to it?
I bet he did. Yeah, why not? He hasn't had, although I kind of hope he didn't, because then he would have heard me discussing it. But, I think he would have done that.
Okay. Just trying to.
Did you send it to him? Did you say, hey, buddy,
No.
Thank you for your time. You know. Here's the episode.
Once that phone hangs up, that's it, Rafe. Okay, that's it.
Strictly right? Business. Yeah, you know, leave life, the money on the dresser. I'm out.
I live life on the air. Okay? You know what I'm saying? That's it. That's it, bro.
One all mile right. at a time.
Exactly.
Quarter mile at a time?
Yeah, that's very, very, I was going to say Gino Toretta, Dom Toretta, okay? Val Venus.
Gino Foligno would wax Dom Toretto in a race.
What's Dom Toretto's real name? I can't come up with anything. Right
Vin Baker.
Vin Baker. Yeah, Vin Baker. Great. Yeah. All right.
Not Vin Baker, not the guy you'd want to be up against in a drag race.
Vin Baker from my home state.
Hartford.
One of my good friends was in rehab with him at the same time.
He did it up in Connecticut?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. All right. Shout out to Vin Baker. Okay. Then he came to the Celtics and sucked, but that's all right.
He's still working at Starbucks?
Oh, how dare you? Really?
He was. That was a great story. He sort of reinvented him. Not reinvented, but,
barista?
You know, he was finding peace at a Starbucks. I think he was managing.
All right. All right. You like me now? You like me now? Yes. I like you now. Give me that frappe. All right. All right, Vinny. All right. Yeah. All right. Okay, Rafe, we're going to take a quick pause for the cause and actually talk a little box on the other side. I'm sure we got a couple negative reviews saying this is worse than morning, rush hour radio. You know what I mean?
I saw that one.
We're the rush hour renegades here. All right, here. Yeah, we're going to be back on the other side with some actual box. All right. Yeah, enjoy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together, we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
And we're back! Back with the jack. It's BC, it's Rafe Boogs.
Is there not one person in this room that is more jacked than me?
Thank you. Rafe, let's talk math. Let's talk boxing. Nevada, the State of Nevada Commission, as we record this, just got out of their session in Vegas. Sports are back. We're going to see the skinheads the next two weekends at the UFC Apex Center. And we are going to see Bob Arum in Top Rank getting cleared to do fights at the MGM Grand, and it looks like they're going to begin Tuesday night, June 9th, and kind of go on like a Tuesday-Thursday schedule for a while. Rafe, is this grandpa playing nice with Skinhead Dana and ESPN and going, yeah, okay, Dana, you take Saturdays, bro. There's no other sports going on. We'll put Shakur Stevenson against some Thailand guy on a Tuesday. You like this? You think that's what's happening? Speaketh to me.
I can speak it, believe it, and receive it on this. I don't know. I hadn't really thought of this in terms of the boxing versus MMA rivalry, although perhaps that is a factor, or at least has entered Bob's mind. I mean, we do know how Bob feels about the skinhead sport. He's not a fan. He's not going to be a fan. Doesn't care how many times the great Ariel Helwani tries to talk him into it.
Please stop asking Bob about it already. Okay. Thank you.
Look, they got to keep doing interviews together as long as they're both working with ESPN. Yeah, so they're going to talk about it.
Yeah, enough. As Bob would say. Okay. But, that chick tried to talk to him. Yeah. Enough. Thank you. Thank you.
I guess
he's going to do whatever he wants.
Yeah. Right. All right. Enough.
Enough. Enough. Enough. Enough. The Top Rank stuff, when I first started reading about it and hearing the reports when, cops started getting dates from sources and reporting those, and Dan Raphael was getting some scoops up on boxing scene, and Steve Kim was getting the stuff that ESPN told him to put up there, and it was all I'm sorry. Wow. I mean, look, I mean, the other reporters who are putting up stuff on sites that don't control the product are still doing what the managers are telling them to do. It's all the same game, brother. Yeah. I didn't know that UFC was a factor necessarily. I just figured, hey, why not? Hey, Dwyer, why not put up some weeknight fights? It can't hurt. Not like, it's not like anybody is doing much else these days, or that they're the difference between, no, a lot of people don't even feel the difference between weekday and weekend. So it didn't seem strange to me that they would choose, you know, a Tuesday, Thursday schedule to start. And also, honestly, it kind of makes sense in that these feel more like weekday fights, right? These are not weekend main events in a boxing, in the tradition of boxing either.
Yeah. You know, if we're going to be really honest, we, during this regular season, we play Do You Care a lot on this weekend, weekend's action in terms of Rafe. Are you going to watch this crap? And there are a lot of, I'm not even talking about the MTK Global cards that I'm not even sure anybody should be watching. There's a lot of in between Top Rank stuff where it's like, oh yeah, that's an actual main event this week. Okay. Yeah, I guess I'll avoid it. You know what I'm saying? If that's on a Tuesday or Thursday, I would be more apt to check in. I think that I'm really hoping between Bob's decision to do this, and I've heard Steven Espinoza on different podcasts from Showtime. He was on the Kurt Emhoff one, a couple others, where he said, like, look, you know, maybe we need to look at how we do things. You know, I mean, this is how we've done it, right?
This is how we do it.
Play it. But, you know, you and I have been saying that for years. Why go up against college football or a bigger UFC card? If you don't have a slam dunk Saturday night card, it wouldn't hurt to throw it on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, when you're not going up against Monday Night Football or a NBA game of the week. You get what I'm saying here, Rafe.
Answer, I think, before, Brian, tended to have to do with gate receipts, right? Because the promoters still count on gate revenues, and you can expect a better gate on a Friday or Saturday night than on a Tuesday or Thursday night. But since these aren't live audience events anymore for the foreseeable future, right, for a period of several months probably, then screw it, right? There's no, that removes that concern. Put it on whatever the best night is and see who shows up to watch. I hope it gets great. I'm not looking forward to watching any of these fights that much. I am going to watch them all out of curiosity and just wanting the sport back in my life, but even if I don't care about them, I do want them to do well. I want boxing to do well on ESPN. I want Top Rank to do well with that deal. And I want these fighters to do well, because the sport needs to survive, even though we're in tough times.
Yes. And again, like, when you're going up against college football and you're putting on a card that we're not even that excited about, and you're putting it on at like 11:30 midnight Eastern time, not going to work. So how about we go 8 p.m. Eastern time on like a Thursday night? Please, folks. All right. Wake up and do it. You'll get a bigger audience. Hey, Rafe, great, great pit stains you got going on right there. That's fantastic, bro.
I'm a heavy perspirer. I got nothing to hide.
All right. You outed yourself the other day and we're like, I'm fat. I've always been fat. Deal with it.
Yeah. I do my best to be less fat, but it's tough.
All right. Maybe you should heed some people's advice, right?
No. Back away from the buffet table.
All right. Why don't you take that, Rafe?
Well, as long as you don't come after my liquid crack.
So to me is like liquid crack. All right. So the box is back. What do you anticipate to be? I mean, look, Bob's slow rolling it out, right? It's good to see Shakur Stevenson back. This ain't an opponent. The fact that I can't even tell you the opponent's name right now, this ain't an
I'm looking at them all. So I'll give you this schedule, the June to early July Top Rank schedule that has been in some cases confirmed, in some cases just reported, but expected to be confirmed. Shakur Stevenson versus Felix Caraballo on June 9th. Jesse Magdaleno versus Yennefel Vicente on June 11th. Jose Pedraza versus Mikel Lespierre on June 18th.
Against who?
Alex Salcedo versus Sonny Fredrickson on June 30th. Sonny Fredrickson may be a made-up person.
A Thailand guy.
And Jamel Herring versus Jonathan Okendo on July 2nd.
All right, so that's how it's going to be. It's a slow play. I'm sure Golden Boy, Eddie Hearn, everyone else is going to have their own version of that soon. Will we get any big-time fights, Rafe, before fans are allowed back in an arena? I mean, because you saw, you know, Spence Garcia, Danny Garcia being back on for the fall. But I'm not convinced yet that boxing can get by without that live gate for the big ones I'm talking.
Yeah, I think it depends on what you're calling a big one. If Top Rank, Bob Arum has already discussed putting fights like Teofimo Lopez versus Vasily Lomachenko behind closed doors in the fall, because at that point, like many of us, they don't expect live audiences to be permitted by then or recommendable or very safe. So if that's the case, then to boxing fans, that's a huge fight. To the sports world at large, it isn't a Wilder Fury 3 or a Fury Wilder 3. It isn't a big heavyweight fight, but they're really, I mean, other than a fight involving the top three heavyweights in terms of popularity, meaning Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, and Anthony Joshua, AJ. Anthony Josh, sorry, not AJ. Other than those three and a Canelo fight, I think everything else qualifies as basically the second tier underneath that. A lot of the best fights in boxing are that. I don't know if they would do those without gates. A lot of it depends on the health situation, on the safety situation. If this looks like there's no end to this, which is a possibility, unfortunately, then maybe everyone decides, all right, well, we're just going to have to get on with our lives. I don't know when that tipping point comes. It could be 3 months, 6 months, a full year, but it could be like that.
Well, luckily for you and luckily for us, Rafe, we have a team that can look at that tipping point.
I have a group of analysts who receive the tip. They review the tip. They analyze the tip information and determine what type of tip it is.
All right.
What kind of tip would you call that?
Yeah, well, okay.
It's going to be a challenge.
He pumps it more than one.
I've had to this boxing offseason, okay? Look at the Rafe going right back to the liquid crack. I love it.
Hey, this is Crystal Light in a Coke Zero bottle, my man. Pink lemonade.
That reminds me of smoking a lot of an oregano from housing projects in Waterbury, Connecticut in my teens. Thank you. All right. Rafe, don't fall in love with a sport that doesn't exist. Hopefully it'll exist soon. I don't know if this quarantine will produce positive outcomes for the future of our sport, meaning promoters more likely to work together out of necessity. Knee-jerk is we're going to say, no, it won't. It's still going to be the same four or five guys fighting for the same piece of the pie, all that. But Rafe, I hope it's not. You know, maybe we need some financial desperation so that the powers that be go, the only way we're going to get big money during a time when we can't fill a 16,000-seat arena in Vegas for, you know, high roller prices for the tickets is to work together and try to put on a card that does like legitimate pay-per-view numbers. That would be a nice development debate, you know, for another day, whatever. What I really want to bring up to you is the latest we've seen about your boy Lenny B. Not Lonnie Baxter of Maryland fame, Len Blavatnik.
Of
DAZN.
I ain't got that DAZN-ish.
And I'm a DAZN subscriber.
You're seeing a lot of ish that, and I hope this isn't the case because, you know, we love a lot of people that work for the teams there and, you know, certainly pulling for everyone in the business to keep pulling, basically. But it could be interesting, Rafe, if their financial issues at the moment are legit and if Lenny B goes, you know what, I'm throwing a lot of empty money into this sport. And if we ain't coming back soon, you know, with fights that matter, that get people there, then, maybe we out. Rafe, what the hell could happen here? Because they're looking for investors. They may just get out. If tomorrow DAZN closed up shop, where does Oscar go? Where does Eddie go? Or would that be be honest here, would that be a good thing for the sport to kind of create some wild cardness? Or would it be taking away a large supplier of money for the sport?
Okay, Brian. So just to fill in our listeners, you're referring to a Financial Times article that was published last week that reported, and which is not really a huge surprise, that Len Blavatnik, the main and primary investor in DAZN and the source of their giant piggy bank, right, this multi-billionaire born in Ukraine, emigrated to the United States, you know, big businessman, owns all kinds of oil interests, got big, you know, big drama man.
Mr. Nuts. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. He's the real Mr. Nuts. It might be considering selling the zone, or looking for money to get in there. It ain't looking good. Now, the article struck me as being a little more sizzle than steak, in that I could have told you that without speaking to anyone. I could be like, okay, well, the world economy is going down the tubes fast. This was an aggressive disruptor sports media business that was relying on overspending, right, to sort of get a foothold in the market. And now there are no sports for them to sell. The only thing that they were selling, it was all confirming a narrative that anyone who's paid attention could have kind of figured out on their own. And who knows, when something is reported, considered selling or maybe considering to sell, that could mean a whole range of things. It could mean a sale is imminent. It could mean that somebody called and was like, "Hi, I want to buy DAZN," and then said, "Go to hell." And that was the end of it.
I don't got that DAZN shit.
So I don't know exactly if it is new, really important new news, but I think it is also fair to assume that DAZN, like everyone right now, is nervous and in facing uncertain times and trying to figure out the best way to navigate them.
Raphael, you're tickling the rim. You're circling.
You don't okay? Like this filibuster.
Penetrate
here?
Penetrate already. Tell me.
Come on,
is it
man.
Better?
I'm trying to prepare for a career in politics.
Because as we know, unfortunately, promoters are too aligned financially with networks, where networks become the promoter these days. So there's, as Teddy Atlas said rightfully on his podcast the other day, there's three leagues, right? There's three major leagues right now. Would it be better if we got down to two? Would it be better if one blew up, one that's putting on fights that aren't always A versus A, B versus B? Would it be better if we had two?
Okay, so let's just assume that DAZN blows up. What happens? I think that Golden Boy and Oscar still figure out a way to get an exclusive TV deal. I know it may be difficult for them to get their own deal parallel to Top Ranks at ESPN, but I bet if the negotiations got ugly or difficult, I would put my money on Golden Boy to get what they want ultimately, because you know why? Because they got the goose, Brian. They got the goose that lays the golden egg. His name is Saul Canelo Alvarez.
I love me some Saul Canelo Alvarez.
That's right, Brian. And when it comes down to it, whoever is courting a newly freed Golden Boy probably has to agree, even if they don't want the Golden Boy fights that they're going to get as part of that deal, they will take it for the opportunity to run Canelo pay-per-views.
Don't forget, though, that as thin as Golden Boy's larger stable is, and it's thin, they have
I think it's underrated in some ways.
Two major potential market movers in Ryan Garcia and Virgil Ortiz. So that ain't nothing.
Right. I mean, exactly. So you have two fighters with huge potential in the future. Virgil Ortiz's huge potential in the ring, Ryan Garcia's potential as a media star hybrid performer something. But more importantly, it's just that money you get right now, because you have the only real worldwide bankable pay-per-view star in boxing. The only make person money, who's going to give you your money back.
Right?
Yeah, Canelo. And Canelo's a heel, but he gets that money, player. So I think that's a really, really strong bargaining chip for Golden Boy in whatever their strategy is after that. I mean, they could do one-offs with Canelo with any network they want. They could shop him around. I mean, obviously Canelo is going to play a big role in this himself. He drives his own ship to some degree, but
it's just crazy in hindsight that the biggest pay-per-view star
is off pay-per-view.
Was bought to pull him off a pay-per-view where, I mean, is it the same thing when you're trying to, no, it's not the same thing. When you're trying to draw subscribers for a long period of time as opposed to one night, boxing is a one-night business. I love the idea of DAZN. I love the market disruption potential. I love that it created a lot more jobs and money for fighters and broadcasters and, you know, people like us, but I don't know. I don't know if it's better off if we get closer to, you know, you got Top Rank and ESPN on one side and you got PBC on the other, and maybe, yeah, I guess you're right. Eddie and Oscar would probably crawl to either get their own deals. I mean, ideally, it'd be like, what if Oscar went with Top Rank and Eddie went with, you know, Showtime Fox, and we had, you know, whatever. I just want to get closer. You know where I want to get. Enough. That's it. We're talking in circles.
I know, look, boxing, I think that they all try and get their own exclusive deals, and unfortunately, they probably end up, because they both have big-ass chips to throw in there, right? Jay, Anthony, Josh, and Canelo. And if that's the chip, I mean, those are bigger names than anybody at the bigger companies, Top Rank and PBC.
Isn't it crazy that we need pay-per-view back? It's sort of like the grocery store, okay?
I don't need no pay-per-view back.
Before the pandemic, I hated the grocery store. Why? Because I don't know if your area did this, but my area got on the no plastic thing. So I never would remember, even though there's bags in my trunk, I never would remember to bring the reusable bags. I'd always show up at the register and have the first time I remember when they go, do you have your bags? And I'm like, oh, crap. So I'm like, what do I do? Do I have to pay? Should I take the paper? Should I buy new ones that are just going to sit in my trunk? Well, guess what's happened post-COVID, Rafe? They're back to the plastic. And by the way, you know, the plastic are great. Not great for the environment, but great for crap around your house. How many times around your house do you find a dead mouse or the cat throws up and you're like, you know what? I could use one of those plastic bags to toss it in right now. Okay.
Yeah. Look, I've been collecting plastic bags for literally my entire life. Yes. They are garbage bag. They are the most useful multi-purpose object in probably every household I've ever lived in.
At least somebody got the score right. Well, so is pay-per-view boxing, something that we thought, you know, that's bad for the boxing environment. Let's get rid of it. Let's put these fights back on regular TV. The problem is you can't pay for them if you do. So pay-per-view is a necessary evil in this sport. And we kind of need pay-per-view right now because that's the only way these big fights are going to get made, Rafe.
That is unfortunately true at the moment. Brother? But when you listen to Grandpa, right? Grandpa Bob will tell you that the consumer these days, and I think he has a point. We'll see if he follows through with it on his own pay-per-views at Top Rank. But he's saying maybe they need to consider reducing the price to $40 a pop.
Yeah, you know who's doing things right? England, in every possible way. Here's what England's doing. I know it's a different situation. Smaller country, more rabid. Don't have as many other sports to compete against. I get it, Rafe. But they don't charge you $4,000 to sit in the MGM Grand. They can put it in stadiums because the tickets are less. They can get big pay-per-view numbers because it's less. It's less, Rafe. Less is more, okay? Boxing, stop sacrificing everything for one night. You're going to end up?
I'll trade it all. I will risk it all for one night.
Jesus, it don't sting on the leg, does it?
Well, you don't.
Want it to be an epic night. You're going to need don't stinge on the lube.
All right. So their near future, Rafe, is going to be probably fights that aren't too great. You have been working on a piece on theathletic.com that's sort of been highlighting some potential low price fighters who could become stars in this short term because they bring big time entertainment value for not a ton of money. They're the kind of fighters we love, Rafe. Who should the networks be looking to pump more than once right now? You know, find me a Ruslan Provodnikov banner promotions. Please, do it.
Right. All right, Brian. So, I mean, now, a lot of these guys are not way down the ladder, but they aren't they aren't fighters who command the multi-million dollar purses every time they're in the ring. I mean, it's basically how to do bargain shopping, how to get good value. Who are some of these, who are the TV fighters who could be fun? And look, I don't know if they're going to become stars because they get a little exposure in the next 3 months, but shoot, at least fight fans will be watching something, I hate to say it, more enjoyable than Shakur Stevenson outclassing some Thailand guy over 12 rounds. And you're like, please, Shakur, stop this. And he's just like, nah, I got it. One more round. You know, please. So where do you want me to start? You want me to start with some of the more known guys, some of the less known guys? I mean, all right, well, how about this? I will throw one at you. I'll see if you did your homework, Brian, because I sent you this fight last night in your email or on a DM or as I slid the DMs. Little Leavers Meet Cleaver, Jack Cullen.
It did exist, but I didn't watch it yet.
Former British middleweight champ, 6'3", skinny-ass middleweight, all action. Gets sent to hell eventually by a traveler bloke named Felix Cash, who has the Commonwealth title. But this, I mean, Cullen is a amazing TV fighter. He's not great. He probably doesn't cost too much to put him on TV. He basically is, you know, his big skinny beanpole who walks in, takes shots, and throws constantly. And it's just he's got, you know, he fights like a tough gang member.
Does he put in Fundora by any chance?
He's not quite Fundora levels of grotesque height to weight ratios. Like, he still looks like a skinny person you might encounter in life, as opposed to Sebastian Fundora, who like exists on another planet. But you know who I'm talking about. If we're talking about the British fighters, we're talking about the Jack Cullens, the Yorkman, the Ted Cheesemans, yes. even Louis Ritson, the Sandman. I mean, he has some status, but he's not unaffordable compared to some of the other folks out there. And these are hard men, Brian.
I love hard men. Thank you. I love American hatchcocks, to be honest with you, Rafe. So who you got?
I just threw some out of it. How about, okay, a guy signed with Top Rank at the beginning or at the end of last year, fought once this year before things got shut down, was fighting with Murphy's Boxing up in your neck of the woods. I know you're not that close to Boston, but still. Abraham Nova.
Don't know
this guy?
I know the name. I've never seen him fight, though. Is he a hard man?
They're both great guys and hard men.
Hard men. He's a dangerous man. I mean, he's, you know, fighting at lightweight or 130 pounds so far, and he looks like he's got the talent to, with a couple of step up fights, maybe get in the mix there with whether or not he'd actually win. But I mean, he looks like he could belong in the ring with a Teofimo type, with Richard Camis, with you name it, at lightweight or at 130 pounds, Miguel Burchell. I mean, he's listed Puerto Rican. I also heard he's Dominican, but in any case, he's, you know, he lives up in Albany, and, you know, good power, real fast, just mean, has a crazy beard, kind of like, okay. You remember Demolition Man, Wesley Snipes, had the dyed mohawk?
Yes.
Transplant that hair to a man's face, and you're looking at Abraham Nova.
So give it to Joan O'Carroll, and then you're not.
Yeah, except Abraham Nova is like Afro-Puerto Rican, so he's not as pasty as old Jono.
I'm down with these fighters. I'm down with this.
So basically, it's like up-and-coming guys who are guys who are kind of rebuilding a little bit. Ivan Baranchik.
Yes.
Right? Lost to Josh Taylor last year, then came back and put the hurt on Gabriel Becerro. And, you know, that's another guy. Pressure, action, just a nasty-ass fighter who you just want to watch these guys all day long. Maybe David Lemieux can make a comeback, bring some sexy hair, come out of his man cave and start rapping on somebody. So that's the premise. Brian, off the top of your head, if it's okay to put you on the spot, who are some TV fighters who fit the bill for you at different, who you think would be fun to watch?
I like Hugo Centeno Jr.
Mm.
Good hair, can punch, is vulnerable. That's a guy. That's the kind of guy I like to see in some fights. I mean, look, we all love like the borderline bangers. You know, who was that guy who was working the street corner and then he won a title on DAZN and then he lost. You know that guy?
Oh, Cancio.
Give me more Andrew Cancio. Okay, give me a lot of that. I mean, I love me some journeyman types. Okay. some white guys. Give me some white guy. Give me basically that whole group of, you know, British guys who think they're contenders until they finally step up and then they get sent to hell. Give me a lot of those guys. Hopefully. We haven't heard from PBC at all, have we? In terms of that.
Nothing.
Comeback,
I mean, there's been the reports of the bigger fights they're planning. And Bob Arum has mentioned in some of his interviews that, you know, he's been in touch with PBC and they plan on coming back in July. But that's all coming secondhand through Bob. So it would be a weird lie to tell because it's very neutral. It's neither positive nor negative towards a competitor. But there still hasn't been any hard reporting on PBC fights returning other than Garcia Spence, right?
Yeah.
And Leo versus Tank Davis.
Yeah, which could be a Showtime pay-per-view, which I'm still all in on. Okay, thank you. We got a couple more bullet points before we get out of here, Rafe. Mike Tyson. I like Mike Tyson. We're going to continue what we talked about last week, that people won't stop trying to make a comeback, mostly because he won't stop taking his shirt off at 53 with ripped abs. He was training with Vitor Belfort, the MMA star, last week. He was at that AEW pro wrestling pay-per-view in Jacksonville. And now you got Tyson Fury calling him out, saying, I'd love to do an exhibition match. Evander Holyfield being like, no, we're doing a trilogy fight exhibition, but if he lets his hands go, I'm a bang with him. And we even have David Feldman of Bare Knuckle fame going back to the well and saying, yes, $20 million for Mike, but forget about the champ. Forget about the pies. Forget about Shannon.
I'm talking to this man like I'm talking to this man.
How about we give you the much smaller Wanderlei Silva of skinhead white guy fame, and you can bare knuckle brawl him for $20 million? And Wanderlei quoted as saying, we could outdraw Mayweather in terms of pay-per-view buys with this. Rafe,
that is interesting. Look, I don't want to see this happen for real, but Mike Tyson might be the only person in combat sports who could break a Mayweather record. Do you think that's crazy? And even for a total stunt, even for some BS,
I don't know if
he's Mike Tyson.
I don't know if he could do it without going one of two ways, without them hyping it up and him getting crazy again, which I don't want to see out of him at this point in his life.
There were some writers who suggested that he did. Was forced to go two ways at points in time.
Yes. Which ways? Which way? Wow. How far did he reach? All the way around? I mean, where are you going with this?
I don't get down with that DAZN-ish.
All right.
I'm going to make you my girlfriend.
All right. I don't normally let podcasters talk about me unless I fornicate with them. All right. And the other side of it is, you know, basically pull a George Foreman 2.0, which is come back and be America's sweetheart and be the smiling grandpa. If Tyson went on some kind of, you know, full-on media tour saying, I'm coming back, I want to right my wrongs. And by the way, there is actually a good story within there. Again, to bring up Rashad Evans' name, he's very close with Mike, and we talked on the MMA show this week about how the two of them are both big advocates, Rafe, for psychedelic drugs as mental health healing drugs, you know, especially
when you say psychedelic drugs, are we going beyond the realm of Mike's Speed Ranch? Like, this is like into like the psilocybin, yes, the shrooms, into the microdosing ketamine and LSD and all
DMT,
that stuff.
DMT 5D, whatever it's called. The toad is the top of the pops.
Yeah. You got to lick that toad's ass.
And
baby,
that's where you only trip.
See Nirvana.
You only trip for like what, like a half hour, 45 minutes, but it's like insane. Or maybe it's like 15
minutes.
It's like
5 minutes.
But
it's like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But it
feels
like a lifetime.
It's balls.
Man.
Yes. So apparently Mike went through that. And obviously we've all seen the change he's gone through. But Rafe, you remember like in recent years, Mike didn't ever want to talk about fighting, didn't want to talk about how he used to be, was embarrassed to bring it up. Rashad was saying how Mike has now come to terms through the psychedelic drug use with the person he used to be. And that's why for the first time since retiring, he feels really good getting back, putting on the gloves, hitting it, and wants to see what he can do with this. I still don't believe,
Rafe. I feel good hitting it too.
Yeah, well, hey, I'll heal with you. I still don't believe, Rafe.
I put on a glove and then I hit it because I like to be safe, you know?
Very, very Art Jimerson, UFC one of you. Basically, Rafe, I don't think he'll take a real fight and I don't want him to take a real fight. It's weird. We love Mike Tyson, right? Mike Tyson, baby.
Mike Tyson, baby.
He is in that rarefied air, if you're roughly our age, where I think our love for him is so pure that I don't want to see him go through any trauma, go through, you know, have a relapse and be crazy. I don't want to see any of that. Like, this is my brand. Old guy fights, bare knuckle craziness. Yeah, go in there against middleweight, light heavyweight Wanderlei and throw some. No, I don't really want to see that. I don't want to see him do anything. I don't want to see him do a exhibition with headgear against Evander. Why are we doing this? Why is Roy Jones coming out and saying people have been using my name? If I have to, I'll fight Tyson or Holyfield right now if they're over 50. Like, stop this, okay? Stop. This Rocky Balboa was a movie, all right? This ain't happening. I don't want to see this. I'm just happy that Mike is finding peace in different ways, and he looks great. He looks better than the fat version of him 10 years ago, and specifically the real high gray-bearded version of him of, like, the last 2 or 3 years where he discovered weed, and you're like, okay, like, okay. But he still seemed like a drugged-out version of himself. Now he seems like pure and happy. Don't mess with it, Rafe.
Look, I want what is best for him. I want him to, I hope that he enjoys this moment in the spotlight, milk it for whatever he wants. I haven't been taking the rumors or the talk around any of these fights, whether they're exhibitions or bare knuckle fights or whatever, that seriously, just because I guess I probably should, because it's boxing, right? Like, anytime you say something is too ridiculous, right, it comes back and it turns out to be true within like 30 minutes. So, but still, I ain't ready to go there yet. And I don't want to ever have to go there. Not out of some paternalistic care for Mike Tyson, but just because I want to see, the thing I like most about boxing, I mean, I love a lot of things about boxing, but the genuine competition is the important thing, is the secret sauce that you can't make up and put anywhere else. And it doesn't really exist in the circus fights, in the old man fights, in the stunt events, in whether it's YouTubers, whether it's Conor versus Floyd, all of that stuff. You know, we'll follow it if we have to, because the world is watching, and for somehow that's the only boxing only matters to the world when it's a fake event. But it's not what I'm in the sport for. I want to see great fights between fighters who are still active in the sport. Yes. And still in their fighting years. That's what I care about. That's what I want to cover, write about, watch, love, drink, break up, snort, all of that. And Mike Tyson exhibitions ain't that.
Yeah, from the lip to the cup, and I know you don't know what that means. It's not just my love for Tyson. It's like, so my old guy love is more like big three in NBA, right? Big three is where the guys who can still run up and down without killing themselves can just kind of play.
They don't have to run up and down.
Right, can just play their adult league fantasy that normally they'd be in some sweaty gym somewhere with no fans, can get one more circle around the track. I like that for fighters between the ages of like 35 and 48, let's say, who are washed, maybe shouldn't be out there, but have one more in them to just get that final answer, or if they need that final paycheck, or if me as a fan, like in the case of Oscar, just loves the guy so much that, you know what, I'd suspend all moral and ethical thoughts just to see this again. But for me, it's like when they go up to another level, when they get in their 50s, it's like, nah. Yeah, Joe Smith is going to send you through that rope to hell, okay? So back off. Back the hell off. Rafe, you know we've talked about that boxing is a hood sport. But sometimes you just got to do hood rat stuff.
I want to do it because it's fun. It's fun to do bad things and drive into a car.
Well, did you know that you could perhaps kill somebody?
Yes, but I wanted to do hood rat stuff for my friend.
Thank you. I mean, who hasn't? Who hasn't? Rafe, also, your boy, the feather duster, Carlos Baldemir, who's in jail and has been for a while for molesting the stepdaughter, or I don't know.
Have to something, talk about this.
Something gross. But he's trying to get out, and he's trying to say he was framed and set up by his lady. You got any thoughts?
I don't want to think about this ever again. I didn't even like him as a fighter. No.
There's a one-armed man chasing him. It might be Tommy Lee Jones, and he's about to jump off of the. No, okay, we'll move on, all right?
I don't care.
Contender 15-year anniversary, full disclosure, drunkenly on Friday night, I did send a Facebook email to, as you would say, Anthony Monsanto, the number one daddy, Bonsante.
An important farmer.
And was unable to connect. And B-Sample Bloke slid into both of our DMs and is like, hey, if Chris Mannix can get Mora and the other, the Rhode Island guy.
Manfredo?
Yeah, Manfredo. Why can't you get number one daddy? I'm trying, folks. All right, I'm trying. I don't have some nice soliloquy to sum up what contender means to me. That's an Eric Raskin project. And if you
about a boxing gossip crossover titled Call Her Number One Daddy?
Wow. we should, you know,
can
how,
we get that on HBO?
Do you know
can
how,
we get that on HBO Sports?
You know how UFC has that gimmick belt, that pro wrestling belt, that BMF, baddest mother effer, that Jorge Masvidal has right now? What if we had the number one daddy, the number one caller daddy title? And it could just be a belt that you make interesting daddy fights. Like right now, prime Ryan Garcia against old man Bonsante. I'd watch that for the number one daddy hat, right?
The daddy's right there.
Yeah. Okay. You know, we good friends, Rafe. All right. I love your daddy, but let's get it on. It was a great show, The Contender. I loved season one. I watched the other ones sparingly. Eric Raskin already covered it. Why are we writing more stories about the anniversary? Eric Raskin nailed it. Okay. The oral history. Good. Loves him some oral, that Raskin. He nailed it. Okay. It was a good show.
Wrong. I don't mind. You know, I don't mind me some oral either.
It mattered. It was a good show. It existed. Okay. In fact, it made them stars. People still to this day stop Sergio Mora. To this day, you know, women and are just like, you know, you're that guy. You're the Latin snake. It was good while it lasted. It's over though. Okay. Unless you're going to bring back the Wash Welters and have Berto and Broner.
Now that is a show.
All right. I don't have anything.
That would be, I would subscribe as a service I would have for sure.
Rafe, Ryan, do you care this week about Tyron Woodley versus Gilbert Burns in the Skinhead Bowl? I'm going to have both on a bonus pod this week on the State of Combat.
Who is Gilbert Burns?
He's a Brazilian bro. He's 33. He's won his last five. He's a big Jiu-Jitsu guy.
Okay, I like the Jiu-Jitsu. I also like Tyron Woodley. I've always been. First time I seen him was did he fight the what's his name Wonder Boy?
Yes,
once or twice.
Twice.
Saw the first one and the second one. And I like how he's not a company man. He sticks it to Dana White and the UFC. He's not. He talks. He stands up for himself. And not to say that the guys who choose to be a little more quiet are lesser in any way, but I like that. I like that he's outspoken.
I like that he'll stand up to the man, you know?
You guys want to go back and be a fucking bartender, a short order cook, a fucking scientist. If that's what you really want to be, then go for it.
Kamaru Usman dominated him and just wrestle banged him for five rounds. I don't know if you know this Usman fellow. The Nigerian Nightmare.
I've seen some pictures of him, but I didn't get to see him.
All right, so you
thought Woodley was a good wrestler, though.
Yeah, he is. He just got dominated. So you don't care about this weekend. I'll be all over CBS Sports HQ, folks. So check in highlights in the studio, post-analysis, Stanford, Connecticut. Meet me in the studio. I'll be there. Wear a mask, please. But, Rafe, do you care about box this weekend? Oh, I did say that, Rafe. I didn't know about this until you told me. It goes down. Not in the DMs, but in the DR, Rafe. Box is back. The WBA has safety protocols in place for a card in Santo Domingo that will air on ESPN platforms. Is that Deportes? This is a Deportes thing, right?
Yeah, it's a Deportes.
Junior bantamweight contender Norberto Jimenez will collide with countryman Eliezer Aquino atop a six-fight card on Saturday, presented by promoter Belgica Peña's Schwan Boxing. Do you care?
Schwan, the swing.
Look at the unit on that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care, man. I don't care. Look, I will be curious. I will. I'll watch the highlights. I'll wait for my man, Tim Boxeo, to clip some highlights, put them on Twitter for me. I will check those out gladly. I will follow the news about how the WBA protocols work out. If it is a smooth ride, if it seems to make sense, I'm curious about that. Otherwise, I don't need to watch this. And I know there will be, there's always the rung of our colleagues who do watch it and are like, you aren't a real boxing writer if you didn't watch this. There hasn't been boxing in months and you don't want to watch this. I don't want to watch it. All right. No, look, no, I don't get paid to watch it. I don't get paid to write about it. Like, I'm going to do something else with my time. Oh, thank you.
Can I have a shout-out period here, Rafe? I want to shout out the Irish crew, all right? I want to shout out the Godinez crew, the ADK crew. As always, we try to shout out our folks over there at, what's it called? What's the name? Get back to you.
Shout out to Omaha, Nebraska.
I want to shout out Johnny Sig. Shout out to him for getting Eric Roberts, the famous actor, on his podcast, by the way. Shout out to Johnny Sig on that. I'm a big Eric Roberts fan. Remember that guy in, what was that movie with Stallone that was badass in 94? What was it? The Specialist?
That the Professional? The Specialist? One of the two. is the pedophile movie.
Yeah. The Specialist. Shout out Eric Roberts from the damn kickboxing movie. Best of the best, baby.
Yeah, that's where I go. Best of the best one and two is my Eric Roberts wheelhouse.
Shout out to Robbie Rinaldi.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Shout out to Teofilo Rigondo. You got any other shout outs in your hole here?
Shout out to all listeners of SOC, Maddie C, of course.
You know, my guy.
Even Homer. Please come. You can slide in my DMs and tell me about the equilibrium shot.
You know my guy, right? Former Sports Center anchor, now the you know the guy? The guy.
Help me out. Now the what?
West Coast guy. He's Cuban B. Grisham's friend. You know the guy I'm talking about.
I had no clue.
I had him on the Skinhead show here because he announced that Tito Ortiz fight.
Not Grisham.
No.
Years.
Max Bretos, my guy. Wow, that was bad of me. Maximiliano.
I never in a million years would have got that.
Well,
how
dare you?
What's he look like? What's his deal?
He posted a picture of what I think is an original Steven Seagal Mark for Death t-shirt that he was wearing, that he pulled out of his collection the other day on Twitter. So check that out, Max Bretos on Twitter, okay?
Right, now he has just shot up my power rankings into the top 10 for that.
Okay, thank you. Shout out to Maddie C. Yeah, that's it. I'm done shouting. Manuk, shout out to Manuk, the hardest working man in boxing, okay?
I think he might get it.
Akpokian.
Akopian,
yes. Shout out to Bryn Jonathan Butler. Shout out to the babyface assassin Adam Kovnatsky, big donut.
Shout out to the boxing bros that we have we haven't lost in the finality sense, but who've left us like our boy Folo, James Foley. Yeah, we miss you, bro. Come back to the sport. Man.
Shout out to the beard, Patrick Connor. Rafe, if you could be locked in an elevator for an hour with one woman of boxing, who would you pick?
One woman of boxing? Man, I love them all so much. It's hard to choose, and they're all so fascinating. The great Kathy Duva, because she could tell me all the great stories from her career tell me how the business works. She'd school me. She'd coach me up. I would come out a better man.
Well, I was talking business, but not that kind, Rafe. Okay, thank you. Shout out to Kurt.
I don't get down like that. I'm a good boy.
Shout out to Kurt Emhoff, Evan Rutkowski, all the folks. All right, that's it. I don't have any more. All right, we made lemonade, gross lemonade out of some stale lemons here. We went a power hour.
Might be some piss in that lemonade, yes.
One day Caleb Plant will be Canelo. You heard it right here. Thank you. All right, Rafe, that's it. That's it for the show. Follow him at Rafe Bugs. Follow at State of Combat. Follow me wherever I go in life. Okay? Because I'll always have your back. Yes. It was hot.
You're out.
I'm gonna lick you up again. We out.
Let's go! It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.